What is going on, David? What is happening? Oh my God. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David.
Sam is going back to Mayo. Mayo for Sam.
75 years.
75 years of 75 a curse.
75 years. Sorry, this is going out literally a week later, but they only won yesterday, so it's kind of relevant. But congratulations to Mayo. I think the whole country, bar Kerry, were rooting for them.
No, actually, parts of Kerry, you know, the stadium actually didn't empty, because normally, obviously, the loser was like, you know, you're not going to stand there and watch your opponent lift the trophy. Mm. Apparently, Crow Park stayed nearly at full capacity.
Aww.
Because they deserved it so
much.
Yeah,
they did deserve it, in fairness.
Like, 75 years.
Like, I mean, that curse had to have been real. Like, I come here, we don't like anybody dying or like, you know, to celebrate anybody dying. But isn't it crazy that the last player died and then they won?
2021.
So for those of you who don't know, the story goes that in the 50s, Mayo, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Mayo won the All-Ireland and they zoomed by a funeral, and instead of like stopping and paying their respects, they continued to celebrate and scream and shout and sing, and the priest cursed them and he basically said, may you never win another All-Ireland final until every single player on that bus is dead, which is a hex.
I'm sure when they said it, or when he said it, they all were like laughing.
They probably didn't even know he said it, but apparently it was said, and then they have never won since.
No.
They've never won. So the last player on that bus, God help them, passed away in 2021, did you say?
2021, yes. And excuse me. So the team actually lost in the finals. They went to the final 89, 96, 97, 2004, 2006, 2012, 13, 16, 17, and 2020. That's how many finals they've been to.
Oh my God.
And lost each time. So the curse has just got like more and more. Like,
that's heartbreaking. That is heartbreaking. And they've sustained a lot of slagging over the years of being like absolutely crap.
Yes.
So we're delighted for you, Mayo. Well done. And I'm a big fan of Mayo.
Great to see that the team is like extremely young. They're all really young.
And they had a new captain, which I think definitely helped.
Yeah.
Oh,
look at you, Terry, getting stuck into the GAA.
I was crying. I was watching the watching the final and absolutely sobbing, watching the speech. I was just so happy for them. Do you know, like,
it's good to see somebody else taking the center stage.
Dublin were winning for like 10 years constantly, and I think even the Dubs were a bit like, oh Jesus.
Yeah, it's getting a bit much. For anyone that's from the Swords area, you know, there's a lad that goes around on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
He's GAA to his heart and soul, and he has his bike all in the Dublin colours, and he cycles in and out of Crow Park for every game. And he has a reg plate on the back. Sorry, he has a number of reg plates for all the years that Dublin has won, you know, each year. But it's good to see a gap. Good to see that someone else gets a turn.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Mayo. We're thrilled for you.
Yeah.
And you're no longer, Mayo is no longer for sandwiches. It's for Sam.
I just got that. It's a week. They're probably still celebrating.
I hope so. I say it's Monday here, and I'm sure there's some sore heads going around.
Apparently
today,
in Mayo now, you're going to get a free bank holiday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, apparently that's what they're petitioning for.
That's hilarious. Anyway, we're just coming off the back of a weekend, and it was actually so nice not to have any plans. Although we've been loving like the really good weather, it was nice to just chill and not have anywhere to go, because I feel like when the weather's good, you're a little bit like, you feel like you're obliged to go out and get the kids out of house, or like be out the back or be with the kids and their friends. And it was kind of nice to just not do that. We did go to a garden party on the Saturday. I was working with Innocent Kids.
Mm-hmm.
I went to their garden party and it was fab. But as always, it's never without drama. It's never without drama getting two kids out of the house.
Yep.
And you think you can do it in a half an hour, but you can't. It's just like, just the second you're about to walk out the door, someone has an accident or someone's covered in something. Then you have to change clothes. Then you're like on the border of like not getting the right nap times in. It's all mental chaos.
So this morning I was taking Sydney to summer camp, and we'll walk up with our friend and her parents. You know, we all leave at the same time to come to the same summer camp. But I've established that it's actually most mornings Sydney was...
Is that the kettle? No. Go on.
Why would the kettle trigger you, Jake? most mornings, Sydney will be have to be dragged out of bed, right?
Yeah.
As you know. But for some reason, this morning she got up at 7 and came down the stairs. Miles sees her before I see her because he's in his high chair and he's like, you know, he's looking at her. But my thing is that it's actually harder. Sydney's awake an hour, nearly 2 hours before we have to leave the house. It's actually harder to get her out the door.
Yeah.
Because it's all this faffing about. Whereas if she woke up at 20 past 8, it's like a panic. Get out the door. It's actually a little bit easier as opposed to you're just chasing around all morning trying to get her dressed. It took forever to get her out the door.
Yeah. Well, I actually wanted to talk about something that I think this episode is going to be taken up by. So if you don't have kids, you might want to skip by for about 15 minutes because there is something I want to talk about. So over the weekend, I seen a post that I sent to multiple friends of mine, and it was basically on the topic of gentle parenting. So there's this girl that I follow and her name is Emma Flynn Creative. Hold on, I just freeze this. So her name is Emma Flynn Creative and she's such a good content creator. Like, she's got kids. She's very realistic. We talk a lot in DMs back and forward. Well, not a lot, but like we engage because I feel like I relate to her a lot.
Mm.
So anyway, she posted this really interesting post and it basically was an image of her. Like she creates these beautiful, I'll show you, like images.
Okay.
And it says, gentle parenting can write off.
Okay.
And I immediately, without even reading the rest,
you're engaged,
hit sent to like multiple mummies that I am friends with and are really good friends of mine. And we have this conversation all of the time.
Mm.
Okay. And stay with me on this because I don't want to get myself canceled either. Right. But when I was pregnant on my first, I remember saying to myself, I am going to gentle parent because a lot of my childhood and like a lot of millennials and people before us, we were brought up in the 80s and 90s and it was very much like
the opposite to gentle
parenting. The opposite to gentle parenting. Like, we were sent to our rooms, like we were in trouble, like we were screamed at, shouted at. Like, it was just very different styles. But I naively, when I was pregnant, remember saying, I'm going to gentle parent. I will not shout. Like, this will not be a house where like all of this, these things will happen. So I definitely did. Like, I looked into it. I researched it. I remember reading a lot about it. And I was like, Jesus, this was something that I was never exposed to as a child. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just stop crying. Like, you know, there was never space given, like...
Stop crying or I'll give you a reason to cry.
Yeah, yeah, right. Now, if my mom and dad are listening, right, I just want people to know my mom and dad are incredible and I'm so grateful for them. And like, I am so grateful for their parenting style now. But look, what I'm trying to say is I remember looking into it and being like, yes, that's what I'm going to do. And for those of you who don't know, gentle parenting is basically where you kind of give like respect, empathy, connection and like age... You have age appropriate expectations for your child. So for example, if they're having a meltdown, you get down to their level, you ask them what's wrong, you you kind of like label their emotions. Are you having big feelings? What are you feeling? Oh my God, you're sad. That's okay. And that is incredible. And like, you're basically naming their emotions and you're giving them space to feel them. You're giving them respect, understanding, and then you're setting clear boundaries with them. But, after trying to do this, I feel like I wholeheartedly agree with Emma's post, okay? And I'm going to read it out. So, I'm sick of apologizing for a normal emotional reaction to persistent rage-baiting behaviors that kids love to bust out on the regular. And then it kind of goes on, okay?
Right.
So, where I'm coming from this is, like, I feel like gentle parenting is an incredible approach, but it needs
to have a boundary.
You also need boundaries as well. Mm. Like, there's no way in hell it's going to work or you're going to raise a child that's going to be respectful to other people if you're constantly like validating what they're doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think it's like a really good conversation to have, especially for new parents, because I think we all go into parenthood with this unrealistic expectation of the way we're going to do things. Like, for example, your friend, Alan, when he was like, this child is coming into my life and they're going to work around my schedule and we're not going to be on theirs. I mean, you were just literally like, okay, let's see how this goes. But when you're going into parenthood, you kind of go into it. Parenthood, you go into it naively and thinking that you're going to do all these things. So I think it's important to also validate other parents when they fail at these insane, you know, expectations that they give themselves.
Mm. I actually, it also, like, exactly what that point is, that you, it actually puts the parent under a lot more stress and pressure to allow their child to be, you know, to get to their level. It's like, you feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Am I being a bad parent, or am I doing my parenting wrong because the child is not reaching this pinnacle of like just being the best child in the world? It's not possible.
I think it's food for thought to kind of, to sit down and ask yourself, you know, by validating this behavior with a child, am I creating a good human being? Mm. Am I creating a monster? Basically, because we tried gentle parenting and I remember there was at one point that it stopped. Like not stopped, but at one point it got too much. And I know you know what I'm going to talk about. Mm. It was... We were away on holidays and I remember, oh, what's that bird doing at the window?
They're catching the bugs on the window.
Deadly. So we were away on holidays and Sydney was at the age where she was about 2 or 3 and she was really, really testing us. And that's a normal behavior for a child. Like they're testing boundaries, seeing what they can get away with. But it was getting to a point where like the behavior was terrible and it was almost embarrassing at times. Like there was big tantrums and not listening. And like, you can't have that. Like a child would put themselves in danger. Like if you've no recall on a child, like they're just going to ignore you and walk out into a road, or, you know, if you need to get their attention because something is happening around them, you need to be able to do that. Mm. And it was getting to the point where we'd no recall. She was walking around, doing what she wanted, not listening to us. If she wanted something, she'd grab it. Like if we were in a shop, like she was knocking things over, almost side-eyeing us, like seeing what she could get away with. And I remember it was on holidays that I snapped and I gave out to Sydney. And it was the first time I didn't give her like space to be like, you know,
It wasn't like brought back down to, like you said, you're sitting there.
Yeah, you're sitting there at their level going, oh, are you feeling sad? Why did we knock that off the counter? Why did you smash that ornament in the shop? Mm. Why did you do that? Is it because you're hungry? I didn't give her that space. I was like, no, you do not do that. That is not okay. And like firmly said that to her. Like, and that was a real turning point for us. And that post kind of validated that for me because from then on, I seen a change in Sydney's behavior from that day onwards.
But it's definitely comes down to the child's individual child itself, because
yes,
we have found that with Sydney, where she'll get to a point of where she'll test and test and test to a point of where she really gets corrected for what she's done.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it's a turning point.
Yeah.
Every single time it's a turning point. And with me, like you said there a second ago,
she
rage baits me, and you can see she's looking at me like she's shark eyeing me. She's looking at me like she's nearly 5 now.
Yeah.
Sydney is well past of the testing.
Yeah.
She now knows how to get a reaction.
And look, come here, at the same time, you don't want to suppress that because she's a strong, independent, really thinks for herself.
No, because I have to step back and say to myself, you know, she's like exactly what you said there. She's strong, independent, and very strong-willed in herself, which is amazing.
And
I really want her. Like if she still has that same mentality when she's 19 or 20, amazing. Because it means that I know for a fact that she's well able to stand up for herself.
But you also want to raise good human beings.
Yes, people that are respectful.
Respectful to other people, that they're not going to rage bait other people, that they're not going to think that they can get away with, like, you know, snatching a toy off someone else and, you know, having bad behaviors. It's not okay. And I think if you're a parent and you're in the whole, oh my God, I'm going to bed at nighttime thinking I gave out too much today, like... let this be your kind of space to, obviously we all need to reflect and like, you know, learn from every day, but I just want to like make space for people that have boundaries for their kids. And I think that that's important to have. And it's really important to have. And I see Sydney and I'm so proud of her. Like she is the most empathetic child. She uses words, like even when me and you were in the car the other day, we were in the front and I was saying, go left. And you were like, no, go right. And she was like, guys, calm down. Let's not fight. And they're like words that we would use. Do you know what I mean? Like, so for example, if Sydney's like, she's in the past, if she's been in the house and we're having problems and I will set clear boundaries for her, like give out. But I'll also, and I know you know I do this, I'll also pull her aside afterwards and explain in every single detail why the course of action happened, what she can do to prevent it and why it happened. Like I always, always, like, you know, I always sit down and go, do you know why you were put into timeout. Do you know why? Mm. And she'll be like pretending like she doesn't know. And I will say, okay, let me explain it to you. It's because X, Y, and Z. I don't want to have to do that, Sydney. I really want to have a nice day today. Mm. This is what I really want to do. But if you do this again, unfortunately, you're going to have to come in here.
Yeah, but so in terms of behavior, when I was a kid, you know, if you acted up, like you said, the gentle parenting thing wasn't even considered. Like, it was never even a thing. It was just like you were corrected immediately and you would never fucking do it again, that's for sure. But we're in this day and age now where it's so easy for kids to have a distraction, right? Mm. I.e. the TV. I myself know that, and you know, and I'm sure there's hundreds
before
of
before you even go on, we don't give Sydney much screen time
no,
at all.
No, but it's even when she does get screen time, right? It's all down to what she's actually watching.
Yeah, it makes her insane.
It makes her insane. Yeah, and it actually gears up for the whole day. Yeah. So say come Saturday or Sunday and Sydney gets up and I'm busy with Miles and all of a sudden the TV's on. She'll have the volume very low.
Yeah,
because she knows that I can't hear it. And then I'll do a lap to clean up whatever chaos has been created. And I'll go, Sydney, turn off the TV. Mm. And she might have been having 5 or 10 minutes of that. And it's already, she's triggered.
So what David's saying is basically, like, so when we give Sydney screen time, we choose what she watches. So we'd be like, oh, here's Disney, here's Puff and Rock, blah, blah. But the odd time she'll go in and help herself and turn something on.
Anyway, the way they're actually talking is like, you know, it's all about emotions. Like, oh, don't speak to that person like that. You know, but it's too fast paced and it muffles her brain and it sets her off and it into the
Yeah, so when you turn oblivion. Off, because it's addictive. All these programs are addictive and it's been proven. Mm. So when you turn it off, it's like all the dopamine that she's been having watching that is gone. Mm. So there's a meltdown. And that's why we don't do screen time that much. But back to the gentle parenting thing today, I do feel like gentle parenting has been misunderstood. Like, I feel like we're trying to raise emotionally intelligent kids, but we're also afraid to say no. Mm. And I think that's it. Like, conversations like this are really important to have, like, and to share our experience with it and to be like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to withdraw an activity because of bad behavior. Mm. Because that is something that we've done before. Remember, there was a party on the road or everybody was out on the road and then there was really bad behavior in the house. And then we just stopped it. We were like, no, you're not going out. Mm. It was because she wouldn't wear the jacket. Remember?
Yes.
It was in March or something. It was really cold out. And then, you know, Sydney can be a bit like, pick you up what she wears and she wouldn't wear the jacket. And I stood in front of her and I was like, you can wear the jacket and you can go out and have a nice time, or you don't wear the jacket and you're grounded. Mm. And she chose not to wear the jacket because she didn't think I'd follow through with it.
But when you were growing up, did you have a divide between your mom and dad? Like, as in?
No, they were always on the same page.
Okay. So, and that's not saying that we're not on the same page. I'm talking about how you approached your mom or dad, because we know that Sydney has a totally different, like, I could ask her nicely 5, 6, 7 times to do something. I'd be like, Sydney, now this is number 6 that I've asked you to do it. And that's me then falling into the bracket of, like, we're talking about gentle
parenting.
You're
raising your voice.
And then I'm like, do you want me to start shouting?
Yeah.
And she'd be like, looking at me going, I don't give a shit, start shouting. Do you know what I mean? So did you have that growing up where you were like, not saying you were afraid, you were just, you knew what you could and couldn't do.
Like, as in my mom, she'd be giving out to you, but I didn't really like grand.
Because I remember growing up, it was always like, do you want me to call your dad?
Yeah.
You know, and you used to shit yourself.
Yeah, but I feel like in this house,
yeah, you've heard me saying it. Do you want me to call mom?
I know. And the thing is that I think that's down to the same reason why it was my dad in my house, right? So I'd be the playful one, the one that has the crack, that turns the music on 10, dance around the kitchen. And I think when Sydney sees that switch, she doesn't like it. Mm. As in, when she sees me with a serious face laying down the law, it's a big change. Mm. Whereas you can kind of be in this headspace of constantly like, pick up your toys, do this, do that, da da da, because you're the real maker. You're the one that like keeps steady in the house. Or so she's like, ah, he's always giving out. Never mind him. I think that's why.
Because if you've passed comment before, you'd go, like, as a joke, we'd all be having a laugh and you'd go, you'd say, Daddy, oh, come on, you're always grumpy. And then Sydney go, yeah, Daddy, you're always grumpy.
Yeah, maybe I should stop doing
that. Yeah, you should stop saying that, Terry, because you're not gentle parenting me.
Okay, so I actually have some questions here around parenting that I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
And we can actually answer them. What was the one rule you had growing up that you'd never have in your house? Will I give mine so you have time to think?
Go.
You have to finish your dinner before you leave the table.
Yeah.
I hated that. I hated it because I didn't have a big appetite as a kid. Mm. And I remember a big plate of food being in front of me and I'd be gagging.
It was
gagging.
Always the same food. Oh! It was always crispy pancakes, no, beetroot from a jar.
The mash and carrot.
Coleslaw.
Carrot and mash. But like back in the day, it was kind of like your meals were given to you and that's all you had. Like there was very, very, very rare like that you had anything in between that. But I just remember not liking the dinners. I just didn't like the dinners. Sorry, mom. Love you and all, but like, I just didn't like the dinners. And I remember just sitting there and feeling like I was going to get sick all over the place. Because, do you know one time I used to hide my food when I was younger. I used to put it underneath the mat and underneath the fridge. And also I remember one time.
How did you get to the fridge without being seen?
My mom would be like pottering around with the kids and I got caught because my mom and dad, there was a horrible smell in the kitchen.
I was going to say.
It was horrendous. And there was a horrible smell in the kitchen. My dad moved the fridge and I found like a load of moldy mashed potatoes and sausages and all. Like, and I remember my mom calling me and Dave into the kitchen. And she just goes, "What's that?" And Dave went, "What the hell?" You know, David. And I just remember looking at it being like, "Oh God." And I just remember bawling my eyes out crying. I just came clean straight away. I was like, it was me.
How long of a buildup were you talking about here?
Like weeks. It was vile. Like we could have had rats.
So that's where it all started from.
But then I remember another time I shoved a lot of food in my mouth and went around the corner and spat it all over the road and my dad drove by just at that moment.
Oh my God.
And I also used to flush it down the toilet. Like I just didn't like the food and like it used to make me stressed.
Whereas I feel like
with Sydney, you know I do it all the time. I'm like, fair, like fine if you don't eat it, but then there's no sweets.
But there's no sweets. So there is no sweets. So glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because there's been times, many a times, where Sydney will go, "Oh, I don't want this. My stomach's sore." Like, okay, fine. And then 2 minutes later, she's like, can you make me a snack box? Can I have this? It's like,
a snack box, by the way, is Sydney thinks a charcuterie board is a snack box. David gives her nuts.
Charcuterie board.
You give her nuts, like a baby bell. Like it's a charcuterie board like that you give her. You give her like fruit. Like I know. But she calls it a snack box.
I know that.
So it's healthy.
My point is that she's turning away her dinner knowing rightly that
she'll get something
she'll
better.
Get what she wants.
Fair. But I think, yeah, look.
That's my point.
It's just
point.
A rule that I just don't have. Go on. What's yours?
I would say probably the same. I'd say just stick to that because it's easier.
Okay. What's one rule your parents had that you're actually grateful for now? I wasn't allowed to hang around on the roads. Like as in I played, but then when I got to a teenager, we weren't allowed to hang around.
I'd imagine I'd stay with a curfew. My mom and dad were very strict on a
we
curfew.
We didn't even, like I just was point blank not allowed to hang around when I was a teenager.
Mm.
I was either in my friend's house or I was in my mom's house or I was in school or like I was doing something afterwards. I just wasn't allowed on the roads.
Mm. Well, I had a curfew, but also my ma's house, it's a cul-de-sac. So my ma used to say, as long as I can see and hear you, I don't care.
Yeah,
I could be 20 rows or 20 houses up the road, but she'd still hear us all knowing that I was close.
You see, that's fine. But I used to be I had a friend, Eva, and she, you know, Eva, like she lived a bit far away. And like we used to go up to Finglas South.
Yeah, but see, this is where you are, Terry.
This is where you are.
You'd go, like, I'm going out for like two drinks and then you don't come home until 2 o'clock in the morning. I go, where did you go? You go, oh, we ended up here.
Yeah.
See,
You
can't go into a shop and just get like toilet paper. You go into a shop and get a fucking week's shopping of shit. That's what you do. You can't take.
I always take it to the next level.
Next level.
Like when me and Eva were younger, I think I told this story before. When we were younger, we told my mom and dad that we were going. We told both their parents that we were going to each other's house, not to Kieran Maxey's house, to have a sleepover.
Yeah.
And long story short, we went up to the Ballymun Flats into Shangan. Into a flat with a load of boys and had drinks. And Eva's mom rang her to prank her because we told her we were watching a scary movie on a private number.
And you got caught.
And we answered the phone. All the boys. What's like, this? La la la. Like answering her back. And all we heard was, Eva McGoldrick, get home now. Well,
and then your
my soul
got...
left my body. Like, the thing is, all the buses were done. So we ran from Ballymun to Finglas.
How long did that take? 20 minutes?
Yeah, but we ran. We were kids. And then Eva's mom drove up the road. You know, the Ballymun road? Mm. And we seen her and we like dived into a garden to dodge her and like rolled around the garden because she texted Eva afterwards saying, give me Kira's landline number. And we sent her the landline of the flats, but they knew by the code that it wasn't Finglas. So they were like, that's how they sussed out we were in Ballymun. So that's why she drove up that way and we dived over a back wall. Anyway, grateful for me, man, for having those boundaries, because if that's the shit I was getting up to while the boundary was there, can you imagine?
No, well, Sydney can't run anywhere from here.
Oh God, it's all ahead of us. Anyway, next one. Have you ever said no to Sydney and then questioned yourself afterwards?
No.
I have. I definitely have.
So you mentioned that time about Smiths, right? This is where Terry goes wrong. I'm glad that you said this.
Oh God.
Okay. Is my mic on? Yes, it is. Okay. You went to Smiths on Saturday with Sydney. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bought her a load of stuff.
You also then picked up the stairgates because we're at that stage now with Miles where we need to start putting the stairgates on. And the stairgates came back and they were the wrong ones.
They were the ones that you drill in. Dave didn't want them. He wanted the pressure ones.
Yeah, because we don't want to destroy the wall, right? Anyway, so we're out for a little spin to get a coffee with the kids. And says, right, we're going to Smith's and change them. Terry's like, Sydney, we're going to go to Smith's. Sydney's like, oh, can I get another toy? He's like, no, Terry, we were only in Smith's yesterday and got a load of toys.
So David's explained to Sydney, you were in Smith's yesterday, you got lots of toys.
So this is what my point is. Everyone knows what the result here was, is that you were like, go in and pick one toy.
No, we negotiated, right? So
my point is that every time the child Sydney goes near Smith's, she needs to know she thinks she's getting a toy. That's
you
like
can't going, bring a child to Smith's and not give them a toy.
I never said I was bringing her to Smith's. I was getting out of the car.
Yeah, but she would have, that's not fair. I don't know. But we had a deal, right? Sydney saved up €12 and there's a €10 section in Smith's. And I said to her, because Dave was like, no, you're not getting a toy. Not yet. And she was getting upset in the back. And I was like, okay, you can go in and you can spend your €12 in the €10 section.
Did she give it the €12 back?
No, so I said to her, you owe me.
Are you going to take the €12 off the 4-year-old? So there's my point.
I said to her, it was just, listen, let me explain. I said to her, you owe me €10 because I'm going to give you a lend of €10 when you go in. And she was like, oh, okay, so I'll have no money left. And I was like, no, you won't, but you can make more money. But when we get home, you have to give me that €10. So she went in and she picked up a duck roller coaster. And she picked up a robot and she stood there going, oh, I wish I could get two. So the duck roller coaster was €5 and the robot was €10. And I said to her, well, you've got €12. So if you want, I can give you a lend.
You're explaining maths to a 4-year-old, Terry. She knew she had you caught. You're in the shop.
But she was pushing her luck. Did you see her going up to all the books being like, they're cool. And then she started picking them up and I was like, no, Sydney. And she was like, okay. But look, it's hard. Okay. Which parent is more likely to give in after a tantrum? Me or you?
You. Definitely you.
Think so?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Is consistently more important than the actual rule? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that is it. That's all my parenting chat. Sorry if you don't have kids and sorry if that was very boring, but... yeah, bottom line.
That's it.
Gentle parenting is great, but I think with a little bit of spice.
Gentle parenting doesn't work in this day and age.
No, you have to have boundaries.
You just have to have boundaries. Otherwise, the kids walk all over you. And I've seen so many videos where we've been sending back and forward because your algorithm picks it up. It's where it's like you said, the child's having an absolute meltdown. And it's like, oh, I feel your thoughts. Everything's
okay. I feel your thoughts.
Give over.
Okay.
So let's quickly wrap up with a listener email, which has a subject of airport crush.
Okay, go.
Hi guys, I need your help settling a debate. A few weeks ago, I ended up sitting beside a guy on a flight home. We talked for almost the entire journey and got on unbelievably well. It felt effortless and I'll admit I was a little smitten. Smitten, Terry. The problem, we never exchanged names, numbers or social media details. When we landed, we got swept up in the airport chaos and that was it. Ever since, I've wondered if I should try find him. I know the flight, the date, and a few details he mentioned about his life. Enough that I could probably do some detective work. So my question is, should I try track him down or Except that he's just an airport crush.
Except that he's just an airport crush.
He could be married with children. And he was just being nice, chatting away to you, like, for God's sake.
Yeah, like, if something would have came of it, surely... No, that's, it'd be strange. Like, how would you track someone down from those details? I can't even find my purse that went to Heathrow that was apparently handed in. How are you going to find a man? Well, I'm still raging over that purse.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyone that's listening to you.
Basically, my purse, sorry, not to make, how do I make this about me? My purse was handed in to staff by staff. And it's nowhere to be seen.
No, it's not even on the YSL, it's not even on the data system that has been sent into Lost and Found.
Like, wild. Anyway, I suggest you let that be, because that is weird.
That guy could have been just sitting there having someone to chat away to. Or maybe you're a bit of a lunatic and you just kept talking. He was just trying to be nice and chat
Dave,
away
to you. You can't call a listener a lunatic, Dave. Nobody will ever write in again.
Okay, sorry. Maybe you're a lunatic.
But yeah, basically in a nutshell, I think you should let that be, because if anything was going to come of it,
you would have. Yeah, he would have gave you a little bit more details.
If people meet, like in this day and age, if you actually meet someone in person or like through a normal social interaction, it's going to be so strange, because everybody seems to meet on dating apps and all now. That's how like people hook up.
But you also think, what would you do if you didn't make decisions? Like, she could have asked him for his name and number, and then you could have not flown to America, and maybe none of this would have happened.
Maybe none of this would have happened, and I'd be floating on a lilo somewhere in Thailand.
Yeah, and you'd be
goodbye.
You'd have absolutely no baggage.
Goodbye, everybody.
No baggage.
None.
Nothing. None. Nada. Nothing. Goodbye, everybody.
Jokes, jokes, jokes. I love my life. Anyway, thanks so much.
Say that with a straight face, too.
I love my life, baby. I love my life.
Do you love me?
Yeah.
Why did you pause? Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Have a lovely weekend. Bye.
Bye.